各位请起立。我们向上一位寻宝，向今天讲者一位寻宝员。
讲远一点就好，我用远一点。
看到什么 ？OK
OK，
什么位置？
哦、oh, ，Please sit. Thank you.
这个就好，这个已经在这边了。
So, good afternoon. Not good afternoon, I'm sorry. Well, good morning. Thank you for coming to the Sunday morning talk. And
I guess this has to be bilingual, so... 早安，早安，你好，谢谢你们星期天抽空过来听我们这个星期天的讲座。
So I know they always... My name is Peter, by the way. My name is Peter, Peter Lin.And I've been coming to Chan Center for a while. And by profession, I'm a psychologist. So usually my talk are psychologically related.
大家好，我叫林敬诚，林敬诚。那我来禅中心有一段日子了。那因为我本身是学心理方面的，所以我每次给演讲的话都是跟心理有关的。
So I know they usually call the Sunday talk the Dharma talk.My Buddhist practice is still in progress, so I wouldn't say this is a Buddhist Dharma talk, but I would say this is... But according to Buddhism, everything is Dharma, so in that sense, psychology is also a Dharma talk, in that sense.
所以那个每次他们广告都说这个星期天的讲座是开示，那我觉得这开示对我来讲比较沉重一点，因为我本身还是在学佛当中，所以我讲的是比较专业的东西。那佛法就是希望大家可以把自己的意见提出来。
So, the way I usually carry out my talk is really basically through discussion. So I will talk about how I feel about certain thing and feel free to chip in to talk about how you feel. Actually, when I teach in college, my students actually have to talk. That's 10% of their grade. So some students, when they just sit there not talking, I say, no, you're not going to get that 10%. So I'm not going to give you that 10%, but I mean, hopefully you chip in.
所以那个我在大学教书的时候，我都规定我的学生一定要参与我们那个上课的内容。那他们如果有参与的话，我就给他 10%。10% 的成绩这样子，那当然我不会在这边要求大家，一定要参与。但是如果有的话，会对我们，我想整个团体都有帮助这样。
So my topic today is understanding depression.
所以我今天的主题是认识忧郁症。
May I just before I begin, I just want to get a feel of why people are interested in this topic.Would anyone want to share why they're interested in this topic today?
我在开始之前想要知道一下为什么大家会对这个议题有兴趣。
How does Buddhism solve depression? Okay, good start.
忧郁症可以用佛法去对治吗？
Okay, that's a good, I will keep that in mind. Very good.Any other reason why this topic is interesting for you? Yes?
I think it's a common state of mind at certain points in people's lives, and it's good to know how to challenge it.
Okay. This is definitely common enough. You heard this enough, I would believe so. And of course, in Buddhism, we just say vexation, but in the West, there are so many different kinds of vexation, and this is one major kind of vexation. So, 另外一个问题就是想要知道说man, it's hard to translate myself. It's sometimes I feel like I'm doing the puppet show, you know.
那个演布袋戏，要先讲完，然后在这边再讲。
What was your?
No, I was saying
I'm losing
it. No, that's okay. It's a common experience.
Oh.
Everybody's, and to know how to challenge it is very important.
Right. Yes, thank you. 所以另外一个菩萨说，那个忧郁症是一个非常常见的一个问题，所以他想要知道多了解这方面的问题。Any other reason why you're interested to come and listen to this lecture today, other than those two? One is to know how Dharma is useful.
Yeah, I work with a lot of patients also have depression, and I'm very interested in learning how to apply Buddhism to help them.
Okay.So you also coming from the how does use Buddhism to apply it? Okay. You say you work a lot of patient with a lot of patients?
Yeah, we work with patients who has depression, mental health, and addiction problems.
Okay, so you saw the whole nine yards. Okay, very good. 所以这位菩萨说他也是想要知道怎么样把佛法运用在忧郁症上。那 so sounds like,there's some common interest in how Dharma applied to this topic. I'm not sure I'm qualified to talk about that, but I think as a group, we can discuss it, how we can apply Dharma to these difficulties, because I'm sure we all experience sadness, and it would be interesting to hear how everyone deal with sadness with Dharma. So the talk today,and okay, it's not moving. Hello? Technical difficulties. Oh, here you go. So here are some of today's goals. First, I want to talk about what depression is, because people think they know what depression is, but there's actually a technical definition of what it is. And I can talk about what are common causes or what are the common factors that might contribute to depression and how people can relieve from depression if they do have depression. And more importantly, there are many strategies actually developed by the Western psychologists that can be used to prevent depression. Now, when I'm talking about those common strategies, I want you to think about how Dharma is related to those common strategies. That makes sense? Okay. 所以今天我要讲的主题有几个。第一个是什么是忧郁症。很多时候伤心跟忧郁症是不一样的。那忧郁症其实它是有个蛮这个是很重要的一些 criteria 这样。然后有哪些最常见的人会得到忧郁症。那你有忧郁的时候要怎么样让自己比较不忧郁，那更重要的是，如果你想要保持心理健康的话，有什么态度你要保持比较不会得到忧郁症。所以这是今天要讲的几个主题这样子。So this is our Sifu, and this is actually, I don't know how many of you saw this advertisement in the past. Any of you? One. This is an advertisement in Taiwan.Sifu was actually in the movement of preventing people suicide. Have you heard that? Especially, I think, in 2008. So when I went back to Taiwan, when I walked in an airport, you see a big sign, big advertisement of Sifu. Just like this. Oh, I'm sorry, you can't read, so I have to translate for you. 所以这个是Sifu在台湾那个，可能是2008年左右开始的吧。师父在提倡不要自杀的一个活动。 And this is what 师父 say, as long as you have one breath, as long as you have one breath, then you have infinite hope, and that is the biggest fortune. So that's what 师父 say. 师父 I believe in 2008 he had a forum, I believe, on suicide prevention. And this is what Sifu also said. Before you want to suicide, please stop 2 minutes and contemplate. And what do you contemplate about? Contemplate about impermanence. Life is impermanent. Life is impermanent. Because life is impermanent, therefore it's priceless. Because it's priceless, so therefore it's infinite. It's infinite. So if life is impermanent and death is not coming, death did not come yet, if you end it a little earlier, it's such a waste of your life. Now, what suicide is a very important topic, especially talking about depression, because that's one of the major signs of depression. 那师父，我想给那个中文的菩萨，师父从在2008年的时候就有一个国际关怀生命与自杀的防治论坛。那那时候他就讲到说，想自杀前先停下两分钟想一想，生命本来就是无常，无常所以无价，无价所以无限。既然生命无常，死亡还没来临前提前结束生命，不是很可惜、很遗憾吗？So what is 师父 trying to say here? What is the dharma that's useful for people to face life? What is the most important dharma here? The dharma of
impermanence.
So I think if anything that you're going to remember today is the concept of impermanence, because that's what 师父 taught us. 所以我觉得今天如果我今天其实我会讲很多学术上的东西，但是我觉得最重要的如果要记得的话就是无常观，因为这是师父想要教导我们，有无常观的时候呢，可以面对很多不同的困难，可以面对很多不同的困难，所以无常观是非常重要的，无常观是非常重要的。 I remember 师父 actually talk about a story back then about a frog and a snake. How many of you heard that? That story? The frog and the snake? No? I believe 师父 when he was younger, was, Bill, did you remember the frog and the snake story?
I don't think I do. I'm
no?
sure I've heard this one.
No? I hope I didn't make it up. Oh, God.
I'm not saying that.
I think 师父 said, I think it's in Subtle Wisdom.
Okay.
It's in the book Subtle Wisdom. Maybe, if I remember correctly. 师父 was talking about how he, when he was younger, he seen a frog was jumping around, and happy jumping frog. Then there comes a snake. The snake or the frog, which just like we saw at McDonald's, the frog started to run, the snake started to chase. And no matter where the frog goes, the snake is right after the frog. So what happened at the end is the frog decided to turn around, face the snake, and jump right into the snake's mouth. What kind of story is that? Okay, 那个师父有讲过一个蛇跟青蛙的故事，我不知道有在座有听过吗？师父讲的蛇跟青蛙的故事，你有听过？那个蛇跟青蛙的故事，我稍微解释一下，就是师父说他好像小时候他看到那个蛇在追着一只青蛙，那青蛙一直跑，那但是青蛙都逃不开蛇的追逐，那最后青蛙决定停下来，转身就一口跳进蛇的口那个嘴巴里面去。So what is the meaning of this story that 师父 trying to say?
Just face the enemy.
Face the enemy and face what? Death. Face death. Right. Actually, you see me dressing up today. I'm sorry, I usually don't dress up. I usually wear jeans. And I was just came from a funeral. That's why I was dressing up. And death is very related to impermanence. Death is very related to impermanence. Most commonly, people try to beat death by prolonging their life. That's the way people try to beat death. I'm not sure that's the best way to beat death. 很多时候人，我们无常跟死亡是一个非常重要的议题。很多时候人想要赢过死亡，那他们想要赢过死亡的方法是活越久越好。但是我不知道活越久是一个最好的方法。So I'm not sure beating death by lengthening it is a good idea. But I think more importantly, how should we beat death? We face death, and what do we the story that Sri Prabhu said. What, there are certain meaning behind it, right? There is facing the death, and how do we face death?
Let go.
Let go of death. Let go of death, right? Facing death, let go of death, and
just keep jumping around like a frog until the end.
Jumping like a frog. We'd be active, right? We'd be active, right? You could sit there and wait till you die, or you can make your life meaningful till you die. I think so. Frog did his best, right? The froggy, sorry, froggy, you have to die. But froggy did his best by doing everything he can. Same thing with our life. We do the best we can.
Sorry, I think I missed something in the story. Did the frog purposefully jump into the mouth of the snake, or was the frog just jumping around and then eventually, by accidentally, he landed in the mouth of the snake?
I think that's a coma. I think when Sufu talked about it, but I think I remember Sufu said when he believed that when frog jumped into snake's mouth, the frog wasn't fearful. That's the way Sufu interpreted it.
The frog was what?
Was not fearful
was
when
not
he
fearful.
Jumped into the snake's
mouth. So the frog was knowingly
jumping.
Accepting death.
Right, that's the way Sufu interpreted it.
Why is that not suicide?
Why is that not suicide? Because the frog did everything he can. He know he cannot. I think according to the story, the frog knows there's no way he can escape after all the escaping. That's according to the story.
Okay.
So it's sort of like what Sifu say about
once you know it's inevitable, just accept it.
Right. Face it, accept it.
Right.
Deal with it.
Okay.
Let it go.
Right.
所以刚才那个 Bill 师兄在问说 请问一下是青蛙不小心跳进蛇的嘴巴里呢，还是青蛋选择面对死亡跳进蛇的嘴巴里？那我说师父的诠释是，青蛋要跳进嘴巴里的时候是没有恐惧的。师父觉得，师父的认为是，当那个青蛋已经觉得他已经做所有可以做的事，他跳进嘴巴里的时候是没有恐惧的。所以就像有点像师父讲的，面对、接受、处理、放下。 So I think a little Sifu is great storyteller. I think a small story like that, he can really, there's a lot of meaning behind it. So what depression feels like? Depression affects a person in many different areas. 忧郁症它可以影响一个人从非常多方面的影响。 It affects you in multiple areas, such as when people have depression, there will be behavior problems. Thinking will have problem. The mood and feeling will have problem. Especially relationship will have problem. Lifestyle will have problem, and you even come with a physical problem. So depression is no joke. If you do have it, you should pay real attention to it because it has multiple effects on different areas of life. 所以忧郁症它是一个非常需要关注的疾病，因为它本身可以影响到非常多不同的地方，譬如说你的行为、你的思考、你的情绪、你的人际关系、你的生活态度跟生理健康。所以你只要有忧郁症的话，这些方面都会被影响到，所以一定要 pay attention to it. So why is depression is something, I mean, there are many different kind of mental health issue. I think depression is something we should pay attention to because it is, guess what's the three major disease of the 21st century? What is the major three major disease you can think of?
Cancer.
Heart disease. And guess what?
Depression.
Three. Very important major disease someone need to face. So all of us, but just by chance, will know someone have depression. I'm sure, how many of you know someone has depression? Do you? Yeah. So, very important disease. Now, symptoms. Symptoms. How do we know someone has depression or not? It's not like, I feel you're depressed. It's not like that. 我们怎么样知道人有忧郁症呢?
不是说哎，我看你有点忧郁，那就叫做忧郁症，不是这样子的。忧郁症我刚才讲过是世界三大疾病，那个21世纪的三大疾病之一，心脏病、癌症跟忧郁症。那我们怎么知道谁有忧郁症，谁没有忧郁症呢？ So how do we know who have depression, who doesn't have depression? We use a manual in the mental health field, the DSM-4 Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. Right now is they're on the way to make the 5th edition, but the latest edition is something called DSM-4TR, Text Revision. And within this manual, there's a checklist of symptoms to look for in order to decide whether or not you have depression. 所以要决定有没有一个人有没有忧郁症，是以一本我们那个心理健康的 field 里面有一本书。The book is about this thick, by the way. 一本书差不多这么厚，然后里面有所有的精神方面有关的疾病都写在里面。Yeah, the book is like a phone book. It literally feels like a phone book. And when you're reading, it's kind of depressing. You'd be like, oh, that's me. Oh, that's me. It's really like, there's a lot of stuff in it. Okay, so what are the symptoms of depression? Now, before I go into the symptoms, let me ask.You to guess what are some of the major symptoms. 你觉得有哪些是忧郁症的一些那个症状？ Any of you?
Loss of interest.
Loss of interest, very good. Major one, loss of interest, yes.
Continued unhappiness.
Continued unhappiness. How long?
I don't know.
A lot. For some people, it's a real long time. Continued unhappiness, anything else?
Fatigue, excellent.
Anything else?
Insomnia.
And
Feeling helplessness.
Loss,
excellent.
Loss of appetite.
Very good. Eating.
Some people actually compensate for depression by eating too much, no?
Appetite going up or down.
Right.
Yes, that's correct. Appetite going up or down. Any?
Changes in thought patterns, changes in basic interpretations of things.Model of interpretation.
Yes.
Somebody has used shifts to a different.
Excellent. Yes, that's correct. Thought pattern will have three characteristics. The world sucks, the future sucks, I suck. Three things. 所以刚才那个有些观众听众他讲了一些，他觉得什么是忧郁症，那有些是说食欲，有些是说没有人生没有兴趣无乐，或是思考方面不集中。那其中的思考方面非常重要，就是当人忧郁的时候，他们看世界有三个重点。第一个就是未来没希望，这个世界很可怕，然后最后自己没信心，这三个。So those are the cognitive triad actually we call when someone has the depression. So let me just go over some of the list. So I think you list all of them, that's very good. Here are some of the areas.Most importantly is mood, because depression is mood disorder, so your mood and your eating habit will change. The mood is depressed mood and feeling of hopelessness. Usually, you will feel like hopelessness almost every single day. I mean, a few days is normal, but usually when someone has depression, they feel down like every single day. Every single day for at least 2 weeks.2 to 3 weeks, and plus some people just feel down forever. I mean, talk about vexation, that's a real vexation. And in general, if you gain or lose 5% of your body weight, something's not right. Something's not right. 所以基本的几个症状，第一个就是忧郁的症，就是心情非常的低落。那所谓的心情低落，不是说一天两天的低落，而是每天都非常的低落，而且低落到说什么都不想做，然后持续至少两个礼拜以上，这是一个重点。那另外一个重点就是，你如果你的身体体重有 5% 的增加或减低，就是表示你食欲也有问题。Changing in sleeping pattern, okay, and energy. Either you sleep too much or you sleep too little.And energy-wise, you're fatigued, right? You're fatigued. Very low energy every day. You have no energy. No energy at all. 所以另外一个症状是非睡眠，睡眠太多或睡眠太少，或是精神非常的不集中，非常的低落，非常的低落，每天都是懒洋洋的，每天都是懒洋洋的。So these are some, another major symptom. Another area is lack of pleasure and low self-esteem. Okay. Lack of pleasure is another major sign. Whatever you used to like to do, you don't do it anymore. Okay. 其中一个非常重要症状是忽然对人生没有兴趣，尤其是对自己喜欢的事情忽然没有兴趣，自己喜欢做的事情没有兴趣。For example, you used to like go watching movies, you suddenly don't want to watch movies anymore. You used to like to read, suddenly you don't like to read anymore. You used to like to come to Chan Center, suddenly you don't want to come to Chan Center anymore. It's just like that. You lost interest in every single thing you feel interested or you feel important is. More importantly, you feel you're worthless. You feel you're worthless.And you have this inappropriate amount of guilt. inappropriate amount of guilt. 那另外一个重点就是，当人很有忧郁症的时候，他的自信心还有自尊心是非常非常的低的，非常非常的低。你会觉得自己是全世界最没有用的人，最无路用的人这样子。然后罪恶感会非常的重，莫名其妙的罪恶感，莫名其妙的罪恶感，没有理由的罪恶感。所以这是另外几个症状。Cognitive impairment, meaning inability to think clearly, and especially to concentrate. When people have depression, they have difficulty concentrating. Now, imagine you're a student. If you do have all that, what happened to your school? Drop, right? Drop. I had a student, I remember, she was doing pretty well in all my classes. I knew her because she took several of my classes. Suddenly one semester, boom, everything becomes D's and F's. From an A student to D's and F's. So she kept it up for two semesters because she couldn't get out of it. She doesn't want to get help. And guess what happened? We had to expel her from school.Because she couldn't get help. 所以这个人有忧郁症的时候，他其中一个重点，他其中一个症状就是没办法精神集中。那没办法精神集中的时候呢，又没有办法没有乐趣的时候呢，可以影响到人的很多行为跟你的工作。比如说，我有个学生，我在大学有个学生，他原本是一个很好的学生，每一学期都是可以拿到 A， 可以拿到 A 的成绩这样。但是忽然有一学期，他忽然心情变得非常低落，因为失恋，然后没办法走出那个阴霾，所以连续两个学期都忽然 D 跟 F， 最后没办法，我们想尽办法要帮他，没办法，我们只好先把他给那个，不要讲逐出校门，然后不太好听，但是他就是被我们请出去了这样子，And more importantly, and this is the most important one, thought of death. When people have met,
Some of these things, this list is not written from a Buddhist perspective, in my opinion. One of the great Chan masters, what he told everybody every minute was, every second of every day you should have the thought of death.Printed on your forehead so you never, ever, ever drop the thought of death. That's Chan practice.
Yes.
Okay, from one of the great masters. So, also, this whole business about not finding pleasure in things you used to find pleasure in, you have to define what pleasure means in this context because a lot of, the Buddha said the source of your suffering is desire.You want things.
Okay.
And then when you don't get them, you suffer.
Okay.
Okay? So what can you do? You can train yourself to not want things so much or not want things in an obsessive compulsive way, whatever it is. Or you can learn to just accept the fact that you're not going to be a billionaire in this life.
Thank you, Bill.
There's a difference though between contemplating death because you're unhappy and contemplating death because you're contemplating the impermanence of life.
Okay.
It's totally different. And pleasure, last week's talk was all about desire. And if we have no desire, we wouldn't eat and there wouldn't be any of us here listening to your Dhamma talk if we didn't desire food or
right.
Dying.
That's what I'm saying is that a person who reads through the Buddhist prescriptions about how to live as a Buddhist and then reads this list might get the impression that Buddhism is teaching you to be depressed.
Okay. So
now, you know, what about, you know, monks give up in this style and in most styles of Buddhism, left home people take a vow of celibacy. Okay? That is a giving up of what for most people is maybe the most powerful pleasure in life. Okay, why do they do that? Why does that not mean that they're becoming depressed? That's all I'm asking. I know it doesn't mean that. I know that. I'm here. I'm a Buddhist. I'm not here. I wouldn't be here if I thought that everybody, the practice here just makes you depressed. Well, who would be here? Nobody.
Thank you.
Right. So what's the difference?
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for clarification. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I just say the consciousness of it. The method is to increase our consciousness of our states of mind and our awareness of cause and effect, etc. So having a method which makes you conscious of everything that's going on in your mind is very different from, I'm assuming, severe depression, which people experience where they have no consciousness of its causes and conditions and can't release themselves.
Okay, very good. I'm sorry, should I translate all this?
Oh.
No, don't translate? Okay, let me clarify. I think, Bill, I'm sure you know the difference, but in case people don't know, I want to clarify several things. Thought of death is, now you can think of death, it's different than, I mean, and at the beginning, that's what we should think about impermanence, right? I mean, at the beginning of the lecture, that's what I said, right? Thinking of death in this way is very different than Buddhist way of thinking of death. The thinking of death here means, how should I kill myself today? How should I kill myself tomorrow? Oh, I should have died this way. Oh, I should have died that way. Actually, one of my patients, when he have a lot of thoughts of death, the way to think about it is, he want to die in Central Park. That's the way he climbed. So he went to pick out the rope. He's like, oh, this is the rope. That color rope looks good. Okay, let me climb this rope. How should I hang myself? Should I hang it this way or that way? People would find me this way. I might not look too good. I mean, he's narcissistic, so I mean, he have to die in the right way. So that's what I meant by thought of death. So it's very different than thinking of impermanence, make good use of our time. Very different, very different. So I don't want people mistaken that as that. As far as pleasure goes, I actually met some Buddhist monk, who are depressed. So before I went to that, let me translate. 对不起，刚才很多的那个讨论哈，最重要的讨论是我们这位Bill菩萨提出说。 刚才我讲的那些东西听起来好像跟佛法有冲突，因为他说佛法，师父说要有无常观啊，我们应该要时时提起死的概念，因为刚才我说有忧郁症的人会常常想到死亡，那我就是解释说，这个想这种的死亡跟想所谓无常观是非常不一样的。忧郁症想的死亡是每天想我要怎么死。 我要怎么死？今天要这样死，明天要这样死。那我刚才想到说，我有一个那个病人，他常常在想说，哦，我要在中央公园怎么死？他在每天选不同的树，我要这棵树死呢，还是这棵树死？那我这个绳子要用什么颜色的绳子？这样子，他很自恋，所以他需要这样选。So, and also regarding pleasure, the pleasure, if you're Buddhist and if you're depressed, it means you actually lost pleasure in practicing Buddhism. That's actually what I saw with the Buddhist monk. He totally didn't want to get up and read sutras anymore. He doesn't want to meditate anymore. That kind of loss of pleasure. So it's very different kind of Buddhism is not talking about losing the pleasure anyway. Buddhism is really talking about how to manage, be smart about your pleasure, make good use of it, because they're just a function of the mind. So if we use it right, it's become vows. Right? Pleasure of saving sentient beings, that become vows. Pleasure for yourself become desires. So I would say that's the differences. Yeah.
There are two points I'd like to either make or just
sure.
bring up for discussion.
Yes.
That one, that from a, let's say, a Westerner who's not a Buddhist or not a Buddhist yet, his first reading about Buddhism or learning about Buddhism, their first thoughts, in my experience in talking to people, sort of represent the same emotions that are involved with somebody who's depressed.
Mm.
And the second point is that I was a philosophy student for years, and I started out as a Western philosophy student until I found Eastern philosophy. And so I went from like existentialism to Buddhism.
Oh, excellent.
And my interpretation, at least, of the difference in those two disciplines are groups of people looking at similar problems, like human condition, but that to me, the existentialists, almost all, to me, suffered from depression.
Okay.
And the Buddhist,
really?
But the Buddhist philosophy was to you know, end suffering, and that there was, I'm not sure of the right word, but there was hope in that through enlightenment. Where the existentialist just came to the end of the world,
right.
Life sucks, it's empty, it's nothing versus empty.
Nihilistic.
So that was sort of the difference to the existentialist.
Nihilism.
It's nothingness versus emptiness.
Yeah.
Great, how am I going to translate that? Yeah. Kenny, you want to translate for me? No? Okay. 2 points, right? 这位菩萨讲两个重点，一个重点是他觉得初学的佛学者如果不了解佛法的时候，有时候他们练习的方式几乎好像是有点忧郁的感觉，有点忧郁，好像人生就有点像我们说看武侠小说啊，哦，我要渡入空门，逃出红尘这种感觉，就是其实对佛法不是很了解这样子。那他另外一个重点是。 他以前是学西方哲学的，那西方哲学有一门的哲学是存在心理学，存在心理学。那存在心理学跟佛法听起来类似，但是存在心理学它本身是消极的，是有点什么都全部都是空，所以我们其实就让它去吧，有点是消极的态度。那佛法不是这样的态度，佛法是非常积极的，非常入世，因为你看到空，所以你才会。 想要更入世的去帮助大家，so I'm trying my best to translate. Just excellent. Okay, let me just go over a few more symptoms because here's what I meant by suicidal thoughts: a plan to suicide, an attempt to suicide. That's really what they're thinking about. So it's not just, you know, faith in death. So it's really they actually have a plan. In fact, the way we figure out who's dangerous or not is by looking at, and this is same for all of you, if you have friends who are thinking suicide, try to figure out whether they have plan, or whether they actually have attempt, or they already purchased materials. Very important to figure out. Because the risk level is very different. And if they already have a plan and they already have stuff ready, call 911 for them.
See that the person has made a plan, usually that person isn't really serious about planning it. It's usually just a cry for attention, no?
Depends what kind of personality they have. A lot of them are just seeking attention. But some of them, let's put it this way. If someone gonna kill themselves, no one can stop them, right? But this is sort of their last attempt to cry for help. So it doesn't matter if it's a cry for attention or not, we should give them that attention anyway. So maybe that's a better way of saying it. 这位菩萨说，他觉得有时候很多人 虽然说已经有计划要杀死自己，或者是已经买好工具要杀死自己，但是很多时候他觉得只是一种需要那个被注意。然后我的回应是说，就算是要需要那个被注意，这也是一个非常极端需要被注意的方式，我们还是要去注意他们这样子。A typical example is when someone suffers from borderline personality disorder, one thing they do a lot is they do a lot of suicidal gestures, meaning they like to cut themselves to get your attention. And if they really want to cut themselves, I mean, if you see people cutting themselves this way, really it's more for attention than killing yourself, because if you want to kill yourself, you cut it this way, not that way. I'm not promoting that this is the way to do it. But if you really want to die, you won't, this is not going to do it. Okay. 实际上我刚才讲说，很多时候譬如说有一种病人叫做边缘性人格，边缘性人格他们就是常常会以自杀的一些动作来得到关怀，那他们常常会这样子割腕。那其实我刚才说割腕这样的割是不会死人的，真的要割腕是要直的割，因为这样动脉才会血全喷的到处都是这样。所以然后我刚才说我不是在做广告让大家知道怎么样自杀，但是让你有点概念这样子哈。By the way, if you, here's a few more things, let's just go over. When someone's depressed, their speed, their motor speed, either slow or fast. Faster than usual, slower than usual. They're agitated or they're just very slow. And this is not a subjective thing, it's a very objective thing. Like when others observe you, you look faster or slower than your usual self.另外一个症状就是他们动作会变快或变慢，变慢就是好像无精打采的那种慢，或是很着急，非常的急躁这样子。Impairment. For any mental illness, there are major three criteria to decide whether or not someone has psychological disorder.Three major criteria, not just for depression, but for anxiety, for any kind of mental disorder. First is out of norm. Two, whatever you're doing, your behavior, so first your behavior is out of norm. Second, that behavior is stressing yourself out, it's bringing you suffering. And third, dysfunctional. You cannot work, you cannot go to school.Freud used to say, a healthy person is someone who is able to love and work. So when someone has depression, they cannot love, they cannot work. So that's another major differences. 另外一个非常重要就是不管是忧郁症或是任何的心理疾病，基本上有三个重点来决定说这个人心理有没有健康。第一个重点是正常或不正常，第二个重点是你的行为会不会让你产生烦恼或是没有烦恼。第三个重点是你的行为会不会让你没办法在自己的工作岗位上工作，或是在人际关系上处得好，所以这是三个重点。 And finally, people can still feel depressed under normal circumstances. For example, the symptoms are not caused by other mental disorders such as psychotic disorder, substance use or medical condition, orbereavement. Yeah.
When you're talking about substance, couldn't that be also a symptom? If a person is not caring about themselves so much that they just start drinking or doing drugs, in which case it may appear that it's just he's having a good recreational drug abuse, but in actuality it's just that he doesn't care for himself so much that he's just being suicidal in that sense.
Very good, very good. You're correct.
Translate.
Translate, okay. 这位菩萨说，有时候我先翻一下，所有忧郁症状，如果说是忧郁症的话，它不能是说是精神疾病引起的，或是吸毒或喝酒引起的，也不能是生理的健康引起的，也不能是说服丧引起的，就是如果这些都排除的话才能说是有忧郁症。那这位菩萨说，那用药用毒品或是喝酒本身不就是一种症状吗？是没错。 So you're correct, But under the medical practice, usually that would be the primary diagnosis, the substance use. Very artificial. And in fact, for a psychologist, these are just labels. Just because you have depression, it doesn't help our treatment procedure at all. Because you and me can be depressed for two very different reasons. So it has nothing to do with meaning. So the symptoms are just symptoms. 我刚才是解释说 谁有忧郁症，谁没有忧郁症，是有一系列的症状， 但是这些症状对心理治疗来讲呢， 是非常没有意义的， 因为我可以跟你一样都是忧郁症， 但是我们忧郁的原因可以完全不一样的， 所以症状只是用来 交流沟通比较方便而已， 不是说这些可以让你了解是症状的原因。 So if you notice, the symptoms are just a checklist. You notice? It doesn't really tell much about the cause of depression. And that's how we practice today anyway in the mental health field. You and I can have depression, we give you the checklist, and we say you're depressed, you're not depressed, and hopefully the insurance company will pay you, and then that's pretty much it. All right. And as far as treatment goes, we really don't care about a diagnosis. As a therapist, you don't care. As a psychiatrist, you care. As a psychiatrist, you care. Yeah?
I have a question. So why do you characterize those forms of, why do you characterize those forms of depression separately? Say, so someone who has bipolar disorder,
yes,
they still go through periods of depression. Or as a result of bereavement, somebody can still be suffering from depression. Are you just saying, so why is that characterized as not under one of those?
Depression is under mood disorder.
Right.
Bipolar is one of the mood disorder. So if you have bipolar, which you will have all the symptoms, but you will have additional symptoms. And if you do have those additional manic symptoms, then this is excluded. Then we say bipolar is your main symptom, main disorder. Again.
But depression still counts as a subset of
bipolar disorder, right? No, bipolar means you have depression, just like this, what I talk about,
mm-hmm.
and you have manic symptoms.
Right.
So you have additional stuff. This is if you have depression, you're just having depression without a manic symptom. That's the main difference. Very artificial. Very artificial. Yeah.
Bipolar is also, extreme mood swings. It's depression and feelings of elation or
manic.
Right.
Yeah, we. 这位师姐在问说，这跟躁郁症基本上有什么不同？那我说，躁郁症跟忧郁症的最大不同是，在忧郁的时候是一样的，但是忧郁症没有躁症，但是躁郁症会有躁症，主要就是这样子。Now, why is it important to have diagnosis? It's more important for psychiatry than psychology. For psychiatry, in order in this country, especially if you need to prescribe medication, you need to have a diagnosis. Right? You need to have a diagnosis. 我说那个这些所谓的症状是对精神科会比较重要，对心理科就是做心理谈话治疗比较不重要，是因为精神科他们需要用药物治疗。那在这个国家，你要药物治疗的话，你要有症，就是要有症状，要有名称。Also, for psychiatry, it's more important because they treat symptoms through biological route. So even though we both can have depression with very two different reasons, the biological manifestation of it is still the same. So they don't care about what the deep cause of it. They go for the symptom reduction. So that's the way they work. That's how psychiatry works, symptom reduction. I don't know if I answered your question or not, but...
I think so. So I think you're saying you made the distinction and you're breaking it apart because you have a treatment plan?
Treatment plan will be different.
Yeah.
If you have bipolar...
Yeah, so you're saying it's just a labeling thing. You're just breaking it down that way.
Right. Here's the thing. If you have if you have bipolar and you're mistaken as depression, psychiatry was very dangerous because they're giving you antidepressant and they might push you to the manic states. So that's why it's important for diagnosis. For psychologists, that doesn't matter, because we're working to the deep root of the problem anyway. So it's the two different kind of treatment.
Question, when someone comes in depressed, does psychiatry and psychology work together? Does a person, from my understanding, psychiatry, from what you're saying, is about symptom reduction.
Yes.
To me, that sounds like medication, strictly medication.
Yes.
Take this pill, how you feel afterwards.
Yes. Isn't that true for almost every single disease? That's the Western medical model, right? The Western medicine model.
It's all about the dollar pill. But psychology, psychology is more about, it's more of a Buddhist
okay.
way of doing it?
Yes. I will talk about the treatment, and then I will go into that exact. That's a good question. Should I translate that?
Bilingual.
What did you say again?
the difference between psychiatry and psychology.
Okay.
Psychiatry being more medical, being more prescribed.
Yes. Okay. 所以这位师兄在问说，精神科跟心理科的主要的功能有什么不同？就是治疗的方式有什么不同？因为精神科的治疗方式是把症状减轻，心理科的治疗方式是去我们内心。把内心的问题找出来，所以是从两个非常不同的角度。那他是说心理科的方面比较像佛学的角度，因为我们的佛是把内心的问题找出来，那精神科的方式是把症状减轻。Actually, in Buddhism, we are both. In Buddhism, we are both. And let me give you a head start. In Buddhism, we have two kinds of practice, right? Shamatha and Vipassana. Yes? 在佛学里面，我们有两种治疗方式，指跟观 The purpose of shamatha is sort of like symptom reduction, right? You calm your mind down first. You calm your mind down first. So you're clear enough to see the nature of the self. That's the vipassana part. That makes sense, right? So shamatha is more like symptom reduction, and vipassana is more like seeing the problem within you. Yes? So simply put.So in the Western psychology, Western mental health world, it's sort of like that. The medication is like shamatha. Bring your symptom down to a state that's manageable, then you work on yourself to see the problem. So do they go together sometimes? Yes, they need to go together sometimes. So I know some psychiatrists, they put down psychology, some psychology put down psychiatry. Actually, they should work together when needed. Sometimes you don't need to work together, but sometimes you do. So that's, I'm trying to bring the Buddhist flavor into what you just talked about. Okay. How depression differ from sadness? This is very important.忧郁症跟平常的伤心有什么不同？有这个非常的重要，因为很多时候我们一伤心，人家说哦你有忧郁症，其实非常不一样的。How depression differ from sadness? Here are several things. Depressions involve a loss of self-esteem, and regular sadness do not, or less. The degree is different. The degree is very different.平常的伤心跟忧郁症其中一个最大不同是有忧郁症的人他们的自尊心会忽然变得非常低落他们自信心会非常低落那平常的伤心就是平常伤心他不会他跟你的我没有关系是这样子 Depression also lasts much longer than the regular sadness much longer okay An analogy of depression and sadness is that if you think of sadness as coughing, I mean, to give you an analogy, if you think of sadness as coughing, then depression is like having asthma, coughing all the time. So feel the same, but one just lasts a lot longer. 那伤心跟忧郁症有什么不同？有个比例，我给你个比例，就是说，如果咳嗽是伤心的话。那忧郁症就是有点像长期的气喘，一直咳，一直咳，一直咳，所以感觉是一样的，但是一个可以 last a lot longer 这样子。So that's another main difference. Another difference is that people tend to, when people are depressed, they cannot really function too well versus when people who are simply sad, they can still function. 忧郁症的人他没办法在工作岗位上，伤心的人他们还是可以在岗位上工作，是这样子。 And when people are depressed, they think distorted versus when people are sad, they don't necessarily see the world as too distorted. 思考的扭曲，思考的扭曲，忧郁症的人思考会扭曲很多，那平常伤心的人只是扭曲一些而已，扭曲一些而已。Depression is actually a serious illness, and sadness is not. Sadness is a healthy part of life. Sometimes it's healthy to be sad. For example, when you go to a funeral, if you become a robot at a funeral, I'm not sure that's most healthy things to do. But I mean, sometimes you need to go through that, of course. But sadness is a regular part of life, whereas depression is not. So one is functional, one is malfunctional. So if you think of that way, if both are a function of mind, one is more adaptive than the other. Okay. 忧郁症跟伤心另外不同的地方是，伤心它本身是有用处的，有一些时候人是应该要伤心的，但是忧郁症是没帮助的，它的功能是非常没有，对我们日常生活没有什么功能的。所以伤心是有它的功能在，忧郁症没有它的功能在。And finally, people who tend to feel hopeless when they're depressed, and people who are sad still can be hopeful sometimes. 最后就是忧郁症的人，他们通常是没希望的。那伤心的人通常还是可以看到一点希望这样子。So I hope this is the overall picture of who has depression, who has no depression.So I hope this is something important for you to remember. Depression is not so straightforward too, because the cause of depression comes from three main areas. It's the cause and condition of the three main areas that creates depression. What's the first area? Biological routes. The second route is psychological route, the way they think. And the third route is social routes.Social cultural realm. So those are the three things. Factors from those three areas create depression. So depression is not so straightforward, just, oh, you have depression. That's it. 心理疾病或是像忧郁症，通常它为什么人会有忧郁症，有三个，主要从三个角度来看。第一个角度是生理的角度，就是有忧郁症的人，他的生理方面通常比较容易得到忧郁症。第二个角度是心理的角度，就是他们的思考模式比较偏差。那第三个角度是社会跟是家庭伦理的角度，就是他们的家庭背景比较不一样。这三个角度。So the main point is that nothing has only one cause. I mean, that's pretty Buddhist, right? There's no single cause for everything. So when someone has depression, there's no one single cause for it. Cause and condition from all different areas created.So who become depressed? Here's just a quick rundown of who become depressed. For women, 10 to 25% of women for lifetime risk, meaning about up to a quarter of females can get depression in their lifetime. So just by probability, 1/4 of people.Whereas for men, it's about 5 to 12% lifetime risk, lifetime chance. 那谁会得到忧郁症呢？通常女性会比男性多。然后你如果看比例的话，每一个人的一辈子，差不多女生的话是差不多有四分之一的机会会得到忧郁症。那男生是差不多5到 12%。Now, does that mean guys are less depressed or...Do you believe so? Sort of. We could be, but we're just more messed up in other areas in life. You know? but culturally, it's more culturally acceptable for girls to express sadness than guys anyway. So there are many different reasons why there's a discrepancy, but I think there are a few possibilities. One is that female are more likely to get abused than male when they're younger. Usually female are less economically independent, and also they tend to need to be socialized. They're brought up to socialize with others more. So there are some cultural differences that create this kind of discrepancy. Of course, then there is female are more likely to seek help than males anyway. So that is also another thing can think in mind. 那为什么女生跟男生会有差呢？那有很多原因，有一些原因可能是因为女生从小可能受虐待的几率比男生高，然后经济能力比例上来讲，女性也是比男性差一点。然后最后就是女性也是比较被教育说可以依靠别人，男生比较不会去有这种社会观念，所以其实有种种不同的原因会造就这个男生跟女生的不同。Age, people tend to develop around mid-20s. I mean, you could really develop at any time. The onset of symptom can be any time, but in general, the average is about mid-20s. Also, there seems to be some kind of genetic factor. If your family, your father, if your direct relatives have it, and then your chance of having it is about 1.5 to 3 times more than others who don't have that direct relationship. And chemically, wise, so that's related to chemical makeup. Our genes determine what kind of chemical balance we have. So one of the theories is that people who are depressed, they tend to be more chemical imbalanced than people who don't have that gene. Just like people who have diabetes tend to have more problem with digesting sugar or than the other who don't have the gene. 另外一个方面就是忧郁症的人呢，他年龄差不多都长，你当然是什么年龄都可以得到忧郁症，但是通常是差不多25岁左右。然后再来就是你如果你的家人有的话呢，你差不多你的几率也会增高，差不多 1.5 到3倍的几率比跟别人比起来的话。那再来就是其中一个主要为什么那个遗传会有关系呢，因为遗传决定你的那个脑的分泌，那通常有忧郁症的人他们的脑分泌比较不平衡。 Now chemical imbalance is just a theory. We're not sure it's because you're depressed, therefore you have chemical imbalance, or because you're chemical imbalanced, therefore you have depression. You can't really figure that out. So, but that's what psychiatry is working on. Psychiatry is mainly focused on this theory. 那个脑分泌不平衡，它是基本上是个理论，意思就是说我们其实现在还是不是很确定说是因为忧郁呢才有脑平衡，那个脑分泌不平衡，还是因为脑分泌不平衡才会有忧郁，其实这个是先有蛋先有鸡，先有鸡先有蛋，我们不是很确定，但是精神科他们用药物治疗是用这个理论来接受治疗。 Now psychiatry is great if you found the right medication. If you have the right medication, they're great, but if you don't have the right medicationThey don't do much for you, and you have a bunch of side effects. 那精神科的药物治疗的好处是呢，你如果选对药的话，它可以减轻你的症状很多。但是没选对药的话，或是药物对你没有用的话，它可能完全没帮助，而且可能还会给你一些side effects， 就是那个副作用这样子。Yep.你有吗？没有吧。So her question is, if you have depression, if you don't go seek help, will you get better? Depends. Depending your personal makeup, depending your living environment, depending your social support group. If you're living by yourself and you are a social reject, no one likes you, I'm not sure how that's going to help you to be better. But if you have a big social support,and you actively trying to do a lot of self-help stuff, then yes, you could get better. 常人有忧郁症或是有任何心理症状的时候，他们都不会想要来找专家，专家是大概是已经什么都试过的，他们才会来找。Usually the psychiatrists are the last people they want to see. They usually when they come to us, they already try every single thing they tried, and they have no way to help themselves. That's what they do. I say 90% of people when they have mental illness, they don't want to come to see professionals. Very common. Why do you think is that? What is that? Embarrassment and
discouragement about a solution.
Discouragement about a solution. Oh, okay. Yes.
Denial.
And cost. Yes. 为什么很多人不想看专家呢？因为可能会觉得丢脸，然后可能会觉得自己可以，觉得大部分都会觉得说我自己可以 take care of it， 我自己可以 take care of it。Yep.That goes into the statistical probability method and research method.
Just this week on Yahoo, there was an article about right now they said like almost 50% of New Yorkers are suffering from the highest stress in the country.
Okay.
Because of the economic situation, loss of jobs and whatever. Wouldn't that be like a symptom of depression?
You have partial symptoms of depression, but you don't meet the full criteria, I would say. So yes, we can, all that, you could have one or two, right? All the symptoms I talk about, we can all have one or two of them. But it's when you have a list of them, then we say, yes, you meet the full criteria. You meet the full criteria. Yeah.
I think another reason that people don't seek help is that getting help is a matter of trusting someone else.
Mm.
So if you're in a state of mind where maybe you have a distorted way of thinking, it's hard to decide who to trust and who not to trust.
Yes.
Number one, and number two, the tendency might even be more, you know, look, I can't manage this myself, so I'm going to go see a stranger and, you know, put all my trust in them. At least I kind of know my own.
Yes, trust is definitely an issue, and cost is also an issue, and embarrassment is also an issue. Yes, well, very good, very good. So yeah, yes.
Well, this is I agree with all of this, but I mean, there's also I think a perception. There's also a perception of a lot of, you know, which may be changing somewhat, but that, you know, the so-called talk therapies generally don't seem to have a really high success rate. My own personal experience in this culture where, you know, I've lived my whole life, but, you know, you used to see on TV all the time these little jokes where, oh, I've been going to see a psychiatrist for 45 years, right, you know, and I'm
yes.
no better, and, you know, the person saying it seems to still be, you know, pretty darn neurotic, and the joke is 45 years and it's not any better, you know, that was sort of the attitude, there was a strong feeling that talk therapies, they might be, you know, they just don't work. You don't get better, right? That, I think, is why, and it's just been in my lifetime, the great emphasis now on trying to find physiological causes which can be treated through drugs is something that has developed in my lifetime. When I was born, they didn't think that way. Why do they think that way? Because it, one of the reasons I think that that's it gives a promise of a cure. If people understand, well, if you've got a physiological problem, you can find a drug that you will take that will eliminate that physiological problem, then you get better, right? Everybody understands that. And so it seems like, you know, that's the wave of the, seems to be like, you know, it was for a while, certainly the wave of the future in this area, because it seemed to promise a cure better than the talk therapy methods did. I mean,
okay. Good point. 这位菩萨说，很多人不想接受帮助，是因为他们觉得好像应该是没什么用，因为他们看电视常常都是被嘲笑的对象这样子。I'm just doing quick summary of what you said.
I'll trust you.
Okay. Basically, you're saying everything suffers. Right. Let's put it this way. The effect size in using statistics, talk therapy and drug treatment is the same effect size. 70% of people get help. Either medication or talk therapy. Both of them have 70% success rate. If drugs are so useful, usually everyone's taking drugs by now. The reason why drug is not so popular is because they don't work a lot of time. And they create a lot of side effects. Okay. So the success rate for both either talk therapy or drug therapy, it's about the same. It's about the same. And that has been done by thousands of research. Like thousands of research and thousands of meta-analysis, like summary. So that's just giving you a quick summary. Okay. Let me just finish up this part. Finally, the last thing that why people feel depressed is has a lot to do with the family upbringing. Certain family, they teach you how to think more constructively. Some family, they teach you to think world sucks. Okay? If you know what I mean. 另外为什么会有忧郁症的原因是家庭背景。有些家庭他们的教育背景就是他们教导你要面对困难，要比较有信心。那其他的教育，其他家庭教育方式是比较悲情的，比较极度悲观的教育方式。那 so what does this mean? It means a lot of the way we see the world is through our upbringing, our family background. The way we perceive the world is exactly karma. Karma means how you see things today will affect how you see things tomorrow. If you learn how to see things today, you will learn to see things tomorrow in the same exact way. It's like wearing the glasses on. Now, so the good news is that whatever can be learned can be unlearned. That's the good news. 那为什么家庭背景很重要呢？因为就是我们很多时候我们的态度、我们的观念都是生活背景造就的，都是学习来的。那如果我们的一些观念是学习来的，其实 好消息是我们只要是学来的，我们都可以把它放掉，重新学习，这是最重要的一个重点。I'm gonna skip. What are the popular ways of treating depression? Usually the best way are a combination of two or more methods. I'm gonna list three methods, and usually it's two or more will be most effective according to research.
Now, 我现在讲一下，就是当你有忧郁症的时候，有什么方式去面对治疗忧郁症？基本上有三种方式。那最好的方式是其中的两个方式结合在一起。
The first one, most popular in this culture, is talk therapy. The second one, self-help. Guess what's the self-help? Charm practice. You help yourself. That's exactly what charm practice is about, right? The third kind, medication. 1, 2, 3. According to research, the best way to deal with depression is a combination of any two. Either therapy and self-help, or self-help and medication, or medication and psychotherapy. Now, if your depression is mild, then any one of them could do. But if your depression is moderate or severe, then you need more than that. If it's really severe, then you need something even more than that, such as have you heard of electrical therapy? They shock your head? I mean, that's really if you're very depressed. So actually, they have different level of treatment.
Should most people try self-medication?
Self-help?
Self-medication.
Unfortunately, yes. Unfortunately, you know who prescribed medication the most? I mean the real medication. Who prescribed the real medication the most? You know?
General practitioner.
我先讲一下，最基本上治疗忧郁症有主要三个
三个方向：谈话治疗、自我帮助，譬如说禅修就是一种自我帮助，或是药物治疗。那研究上来讲，其中两个结合在一起的话是最好的治疗方式，其中两个结合在一起的话是最好的治疗方式。Let me just go over a little bit about what talk therapy and medication is about. In general, if you do have depression, if you do feel sad, for most of us, we talk to people, yes? That makes sense? Sometimes we feel sad, we talk to people. And when we talk to people, we feel better, most of us. So the way, at least for mental health profession, is that you usually would try talk and self-help first. If the talk and self-help doesn't work at all, then you add the medication. Now, the most common way people do is medication and therapy. That's the most common way. And what you think is the success rate of medication and therapy together? If therapy is 70% success rate and medication is 70% success rate, what's the success rate of those two?
80?
About 85-ish. 80-85-ish, if you've got the right medication. And also depending on how severe your symptom again. And again, in the Western trip, the first two is focusing on working on the self, right? Working on the self. And medication is working on symptom reduction. It's like if you want to learn how to swim, you can learn how to swim in the huge ocean with the big waves, or you can learn swimming in a swimming pool. So the first two is like learning how to swim, and medication is like bring you from the big ocean to the swimming pool. Right? So I say that's the main, that's how those treatments work together. If anything's 100%, people would love us by now, but no, it doesn't. 85%, even the highest you can go. For therapy, talk therapy, usually people feel better after 16 sessions. After 16 sessions, usually people feel better. But after that, it's almost like plateau. Then you got that very slow progress after that. Because to work on yourself takes how long?
A lifetime,
yeah. We know Chan practice takes a lot of time, yeah.
You had given a talk about helping others to help themselves. At the plateau, is that the point where you say, well, you know, they have to pretty much help themselves at that point? Do you encourage that at that point, that, you know, they're okay to go walking on their own? That,
what we can do is encourage them, yes. When Sifu say, face it, accept it, deal with it, let it go. Sometimes it's easier to face something when someone's next to you. You still have to face it yourself, but it's just much easier when you want someone accompany you to do that.
But I mean, you can only help them to a certain level, and then the self-help has to come in at some point for them to truly heal themselves, no?
Yes, if you come to talk therapy and you don't want to help yourself, you might as well just don't come. Talk therapy is not like we give you advice. That's not it. That's not what talk therapy is about. Talk therapy is like, what is it like?
Ideas to help?
Our job is to help you to find your own solution.
Right.
So we act like a catalyst.
Right.
We're not advice givers. To give advice is easy. You could just talk to your bartender. They give you plenty of advice. But that's not our job. Our job is to help you to seek your own solution. Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
Maybe you agree or not, but Leo Tolstoy, the Russian writer,
okay.
Leo Tolstoy, he make a comment about depression and mental problems. I believe he was thinking in his wife,
actually, you know what? That's what Sifu said. Sifu said similar things. People who are suicidal are selfish because your life does not belong to you. If you understand interconnectedness, your life comes from everywhere. Whatever made Peter come from all the non-Peters. You, the reason why I can be here today is because of you. Right? So your life doesn't belong to yourself.
Because you say first that they have a lack of love. They are not able to feel love for somebody. So that goes very well with the Tolstoy.
Yes. Yes.
And you translate that.
I think the most difficult thing about this lecture is have to like constantly translate him. I don't even know how to translate his name in Chinese. I mean, Dorofusi,
的分析表裡面說精神病不能報名參加。
Okay. So her question is, for some people when you're severely mentally ill, you cannot participate in our Zen retreat, which is correct, because in order to practicing Dharma does not exclude you from mental health. I never heard someone who's like enlightened and depressed. I never heard that one yet. So you, a good understanding of depression is when you're sick, you should take care of it so you can practice Dharma better. But and when you practice Dharma, it also helps you to get better faster. So again, you have to have some good understanding what depression is. It's not everything, not everything is you can control. So you have to do whatever you can do. It's like, if I meditate, I will have no diabetes. That doesn't make sense, right? I mean, it doesn't make sense, yeah.
What about nutrition? Can simple nutrition be like vitamin D frequency?
Yes, nutrition definitely is very important too. Again, that's many different factors, right? So to take care of depression, you have to watch your nutrition, watch your interpersonal relationship, and work on your way of seeing the world. And how much time I have? I don't have much time, and I'm like 1/3 of my flight. That's kind of messed up. Wow. I want to say something about, I want to conclude something, because I want to say that Buddhism is actually pretty popular in current mental health field, because Buddhism is actually used in helping depression. And I'm not just saying helping depression, they actually developed new psychotherapy based on Buddhism. Okay, so currently we actually have different school of psychotherapy that combine Buddhism with psychotherapy. So you combine therapy, that's what usually people think about therapy, and just plain nuts. That's what people think about therapy is about. And you combine that with Buddhism today, you know? That's So when you feel the urge to act badly, my son, ask yourself this, what is the sound of one hand spanking? I'm sorry, this is just a simple joke.
在目前我想我要结个语，就是说现在最常治疗那个。
忧郁症的方式，其中的方式是把佛法运用在心理治疗上，因为现在有一群心理学家，本身是心理学家，也本身有出过家，然后他们有推动怎么样把佛法用在心理治疗上。那现在不止很多心理学家都有在开始学习怎么把佛法运用在心理治疗上，而且他们还蛮有效的，也证明蛮有效的。So they don't, of course the Buddhism that they use is not the whole package. The main, but they use the key ingredient of Buddhism, which is mindfulness. So this kind of therapy, we usually call it the mindfulness therapy, or sometimes they call it the third wave therapy. So you actually have 7-8 different kinds of therapy based on Buddhist practice. Very interesting. Some use more traditional practice, some use more just understanding and learning. Unfortunately, there's a lot of stuff I want to talk about. I couldn't go over it, but I want to share with you what Sifu say about I want to conclude what Sifu say about I want to conclude with what Sifu said to about life. Here Sifu say, 生命不只属于我们自己, life does not belong. Oh, talking about impermanence. Okay. Okay. Now I'm lost in this track. So where I am? I'm gonna go over what Sifu gonna say anyway.
Can we talk more about psychotherapy?
I'm like going back and forth. Okay. Sure. Let me just go over what Sifu have to say, just in case we, you know, miss the time. I think this is a very important thing. 我们的生命是与我们关系人共同相继，因此对于关系人、家人、朋友、师长、社会乃至整个宇宙，我们是有责任、有义务要回报奉献的。这份责任不一定是要对社会有贡献，但是最基本的是每个人要善用自己的生命，珍惜生命。 恪尽自己的责任与义务，这才是真正发挥生命的价值。所以我觉得师父讲这句话非常的，对我来讲非常有用，因为我觉得生命的意义不在于它的长短，但是在于它的深度与厚度。我觉得这是非常重要。 So I guess I have to translate all this for you. This is what Sifu say. Life does not belong to us. I mean, it doesn't just belong to you. It belongs to everyone else. Our life is related to our people around us, such as family members, friends, teachers, society, even the universe. That's how we're connected. We have the responsibility, and we have the we should volunteer ourselves to deliver, to give to the society. This responsibility doesn't have to be for our society per se, but the most important thing is you have to learn to make good use of your life. Make good use of your life, okay? And that's the most important meaning of life. How to make your life meaningful, that's the most important thing. So, not a very good translation on the spot, but you can imagine how Sifu say with a cool attitude and all that. So that's, yes. So again, the meaning of life is not based on how long you live, but based on what you put in. What you put in. Yes.
I understand that you were showing the Western side of it. Are there any Eastern practices, maybe like acupuncture, that can actually change the chemical brain chemistry instead of drugs?
Okay. There are. Let me go over. Since we have 15 minutes, so let me talk about how to prevent depression or how to treat depression without drugs. Okay, let me just go over this quickly. Well, first of all, how do we decide who have who should use medication or not? First of all, depression should be severe. Also, if you have at least 2 depression in the past. Third, you have family who have depression. And fourth, you don't want talk therapy. 有谁需要药物治疗呢? 第一,他们的忧郁症非常严重。第二,之前已经有发生两次过忧郁症。 第三,家庭,家族有过忧郁症。 第四,他们不想要谈话治疗。 These are the people who need medication. Now, for most of us, we don't want medication, right? So how do you help yourself when you don't have medication, when you don't want to use medication? Several things, and you can see how chan practice go along with water Western recommendation. One is take action. People, when they're depressed, they don't want to do a thing. And the best thing one person to deal with depression is be active. Just do it. Just do it. Okay? Doesn't matter if you want to do it or not. Just do it. Once you start to get moving, it will help to actually change your brain chemistry, believe it or not. Also, exercise. If you could have dealt, when people are depressed, when they start to do exercise, it actually changes the chemical imbalance in some way. So as a Zen practitioner, this is not unfamiliar, right? I mean, take action. Oh, I know we sit and meditate, but that's not the purpose, right? I mean, we can sit and even sitting and meditating is hard. Right. So take action to do whatever the situation calls you for. You deliver. Right. Exercise. Oh, we do our 8-form movement of Zen, and you can come here and take the Tai Chi class if you want to. But again, exercise is very important. And as a meditator, if you want to have a good practice, you have to regulate three things. Right. Your mind, your breath, and guess what? The third one, your body. Right. So as a meditator, you should regulate your body to have a good nutrition and to do the right amount of exercise. So another thing that helps people when they have depression is to write things down. Writing journal is actually important. When we write, oh, I forgot to translate. You 几样事情可以帮助你减轻忧郁症。第一个是做运动，就是有运动的人，以研究上来讲，他们的那个可以比较平衡他们的脑分泌，所以会比较好一点。另外一个就是，虽然说很不想做事情，但是你一定要做事情，就是你平常做什么，你就是继续做什么。你如果慢慢不想做的话，只会让你忧郁症更严重。那这两个都是跟禅法有相辅相成。Write a journal. When we write our, why writing journal is important is that when we write things down, we get to see our disturbed and unrealistic thoughts.When we think about it, we don't see our thought as clearly, unless you have the meditative practice. But even when you have the meditative practice, when you write your thoughts out, you actually get to see your thoughts from a third person perspective, which is what meditation is training you to do, right? When we are having thoughts, we just let thoughts pass by and go, but we're very clear what thoughts we have. Same kind of idea, but Western psychology, we ask people to write things out, so it's more concrete.And when you write enough things out, you can actually go back and analyze yourself. There's a pattern in the way I see the world. And what is the pattern? And why would I have that pattern? So you actually reflect, how is this pattern go according with Buddhist teaching or not? So you can actually analyze this that way. Psychotherapy or counseling, as we mentioned before. Support group, very important, especially in Western psychology.If you could find a bunch of people who suffer the same problem you do, and when you get together, believe it or not, it's helpful for many people. Helpful for many people who suffer from depression when they help each other together. 另外几个可以帮助你减轻忧郁症的方法是写日记。那写日记为什么很好呢？因为你当你写的时候，你可以把你自己那些扭曲的想法写出来。有时候我们想的时候比较看不出来我们的想法是扭曲的。但是说当你写出来的时候，你可以一个第三者的角度去看你的想法，你就比较不会去执着你自己的想法。那这跟佛法是有相应的。那再来就是谈话治疗也是有它的用处。然后另外一个就是support group， 那中文是关怀团体还是互助团体。互助团体如果有的话是非常好，你可以找几个跟你同样类似问题的人，如果可以结合在一起，互相讨论怎么样让自己更好的话，比如说你有忧郁症，你可以把佛法带给其他的忧郁症的人，那别人也可以把他们觉得有帮助的方式带现给你，所以是一个非常好的方式。Alternative treatment, which is what you said, acupuncture. Some people actually try acupuncture. Some research showed it was promising. Massage therapy.Aromatherapy, meditation definitely help. Okay, Buddhist meditation definitely help, according to research. Chan practice definitely help. And phototherapy, that's another weird one. Not so weird though, especially for people who has seasonal depression. One way to treat seasonal depression is actually using UV light. When they have enough light, they actually feel happy. I don't know, when you feel down, when you walk out of the sun, that make you feel warmer and happier? Phototherapy. And herbal medicine. Sometimes people felt down that herbal medicine can be useful. The effect is still debatable, but St. John's Wort is the most popular one. The effect is debatable. Yes.
There's also, going back to acupuncture, some doctors that practice traditional Chinese medicine will use a combination of acupuncture and Chinese herbs.
Oh, yes. Yes, they should.
Combination preparations and things like that for anxiety.
Yes, yes, correct. When we do international disaster relief work, one of our team is Oriental Medicine team, and they use acupuncture to help people who have PTSD. So, yes, so they're useful. 另外几个方式可以帮助忧郁症治疗，中医其实有他们自己的方法，中医有他们调心的方法，他们可以用中医跟中药来结合。 那另外一种方法是用光线治疗，阳光治疗，就是有时候有些人，尤其是你的，如果你的忧郁症是跟季节有关的话，有时候用那个阳光，他们用类似阳光的灯来照明的时候，可以让你忧郁症减轻。
What is SAMe?
SAMe, if you go to GNC, you ask them what's SAMe, they will give you 10 different bottles of it. So, what is it? I have no idea. Like, I never eat it myself. So I just heard about it, but it's one of those herbal products. Any of you familiar with it, SAMe?
I just heard that it's very, very expensive. Like compared to St. John's Wort, it's a very expensive alternative. I used to know what it stands for. I don't.
I'm sorry.
Like in a health food store, they have like.
The idea is you could try the alternative medicine, but when they all don't help, what's the right thing to do? Seek professional help. Yep. Okay.
The reason why I like, you know, in our clinic, you know, we very struggle, you know. I think this has also have to do with culture in Manila, for Asian, you know, don't we have a lot of chance exposed to counseling, you know, this most of come from Western, so they look for really quick fix, like medication or injection. They don't believe counseling, you know, but as a Zen practitioner, I benefit from, you know, by practicing and coming to the Chan meditation. I understand that this is a very good way. So we try, in our clinic, we try to have our client patients practice meditation and all exposed to Buddhism. But we struggle in that because this is also involved in religion. When people think religion today already have resistance, you know, so I'm just struggling how we could, you know, easily, I cannot make all our patients become Buddhism.
Sure.
So just, how could we, you know, since this is a very good match, how could we help them in a very mild, general way, you know, to direct them against the, you know, different value of life and all these parts?
One thing I told my students, I also teach Buddhism. One of my course I teach in college is actually Buddhism, Buddhist psychology and psychotherapy. That's one of the course I teach in college. All my students are Catholic or atheist. But what I tell them is, you don't need to be a Buddhist to practice Buddhist Dharma. Just like you don't need to be a yogi to practice yoga, right? You don't need to be Socrates to be practicing philosophy. I mean, that's just a major concept. If it's useful for you, do it. If it's not, don't do it. That's the Buddhist attitude anyway. Don't believe what I say? Try it out. Yes.
There are two issues that I wanted to bring up. I was born and raised in a small village in Europe, and there are two parameters that the played a major role in the mood and attitude of the people is the purpose in life and the community in life. They seem to me, I can't think of anybody being depressed back in the 60s. About 200.
You're from the 60s?
Yes.
The happy.
I mean, they lived there. Nobody was really depressed. They were all happy because they had a purpose. They had to get up in the morning, take care of the crops, the fields, the animals, and so forth. And on the other hand, they had a community sense of living. Everybody, the community itself was supporting the others. The community wouldn't let you get depressed. They were very celebratorial. They would find causes to celebrate life. And in terms of material goods, they were about the same. They all had, you know, a couple of animals to support their daily endeavors, and the same fields. No antagonistic things to make them like jails. So they were living like, I mean, there's no depression. Nobody, I never heard of anybody being depressed living in that way of life. So what I'm saying is purpose, to find purpose in life, and then have a community that would not just to be with them on a daily basis, to by work in a sort of biofeedback, I mean, immediate feedback, not let you the others get the sad or so this is it was a very important, let's say, case study for me. I guess it's very important if we can kind of work in towards that direction. It's very difficult. Maybe churches here try. I don't know. I'm not
okay.
So much.
How to combine Buddhism in the... Okay. Okay. Let me translate a little bit. I'm going to translate in two sentences. 这位师兄是说他不了解为什么有些人很忧郁，因为他的认识的人都是生命有一个很重要的意义。那当你生命有很重要的意义的时候，你就不会难过。那我觉得我想把他这讲这个话，可能今天就要到此结束，因为就像师父刚才讲的，生命的意义是最重要的。你如果没有生命的意义的时候，什么事情都变得很困难。那尼采也讲过，当你有一个意义的时候，你可以几乎可以面对任何的困难，可以面对任何的困难。So I have to end where you stop here because I think that's what 师父 again. I'm gonna end about. That's exactly what 师父 talk about. Meaning of life is most important thing. Because as Nietzsche said.When you have a reason of why to live, you can bear with almost any how, right? When once you have that meaning of life, you can bear with any difficulties in life. And I think you don't need to be a Buddhist to practice Buddhism, but if you can help, and I think practicing Buddhism is to help you to see the true meaning of your life. I think that's very important.And so if you can help them to go for that direction, what is the meaning of your life? I mean, that's why we suffer, right? We have me, 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 me. The meaning of life is not just on you, right? It's on all of us. So I have to conclude here because I think time really ran out. Thank you for having me today. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
We're going to do a very simple offering today, so we're going to just